Well, good evening. How are y'all this evening? That's good. Yeah, praise the Lord. Welcome, and those of us online, if you would stand if you can, we're gonna start out by singing. We have come into His house. We have come into His house and gathered in His name to worship Him. Jesus Christ the Lord. So forget about yourself and concentrate on Him and worship Him. So forget about yourself and concentrate on Him and worship Him. So forget about yourself and concentrate on Him and worship Christ the Lord. Worship Him, Jesus Christ the Lord. Worship Him, Jesus Christ the Lord. Amen. Thank you. the grace of Jesus, greater than all my sin. How shall my tongue describe it? Where shall its praise begin? Taking away my burden, setting my spirit free, for the wonderful grace of Jesus reaches me. Wonderful the matchless grace of Jesus, deeper than the mighty rolling sea, higher than the mountain, sparkling like a fountain, sufficient grace for even me. Broader than the scope of my transgressions, greater than my all my sin and shame. Oh, magnify the precious name of Jesus, praise his name. Wonderful grace of Jesus, reaching to all the lost. By it I have been pardoned, saved to the uttermost. Chains have been torn asunder, giving me liberty. For the wonderful grace of Jesus reaches me. Wonderful the matchless grace of Jesus, than the mighty rolling sea, higher than the mountain, sparkling like a fountain, all sufficient grace for even me. Broader than the scope of my transgressions, greater far than all my sin and shame. Oh, magnify the precious name of Jesus, praise his name. Wonderful grace of Jesus, reaching the most defiled. By its transforming power, making him God's dear child. Purchasing peace and heaven for all eternity. For the wonderful grace of Jesus, wonderful the matchless grace, the matchless grace of Jesus, deeper than the mighty rolling sea, the rolling sea, higher than the mountain, sparkling like a fountain, all sufficient grace for even me, broader than the scope of my transgression, sing it, greater far than all my sin and shame, oh, magnify the precious name of Jesus, praise him. Amen. My faith looks up to thee, thou Lamb of Calvary, Savior divine. Now hear me while I pray, take all my guilt away. Oh, let me from this day be wholly thine. May thy rich grace impart strength to the my fainting heart, my zeal inspire. As thou hast died for me, oh, may my love to thee pure, warm, and changeless be, a living fire. While life's dark maze I tread, and griefs around me spread, be thou my guide. Bid darkness turn to day, wipe sorrow's tears away, nor let me ever stray from thee aside. When in life's passing dream, when death's cold threatening stream shall o'er me roll, blessed Savior, then in love, fear and distrust remove. Oh, lift me safe above a ransomed soul. Amen. Anybody got a pick of him tonight? We can sing Wonderful Grace of Jesus again. 5:10 already. Let's see what's on 5:10. Heaven came down on 5:10. Oh, what a wonderful, wonderful day, day I will never forget. After I'd wandered in darkness away, Jesus, my Savior, I met. Oh, what a tender, compassionate friend, he met the need of my heart. Shadows dispelling, with joy I am telling, he made all the darkness depart. Heaven came down and glory filled my soul. When at the cross the Savior made me whole. My sins were washed away and my night was turned to day. Heaven came down and glory filled my soul. Born of the Spirit with life from above into God's family divine. Justified fully through Calvary's love. Oh, what a standing is mine. And the transaction so quickly was made when as a sinner I came. Took of the offer of grace he did proffer. He saved me, oh, praise his dear name. Heaven came down and glory filled my soul. When at the cross the Savior made me whole. My sins were washed away and my night was turned to day. Heaven came down and glory filled my soul. Now I've a hope that will surely endure after the passing of time. I have a future in heaven for sure, there in those mansions sublime. And it's because of that wonderful day when at the cross I believed. Riches eternal and blessings supernal from his precious hand I received. Heaven came down and glory filled my soul. When at the cross the Savior made me whole. My sins were washed away and my night was turned to day. Heaven came down and glory filled my soul. Amen. Any others? 662, alrighty. With all my heart, 662. I'm sure I've heard this one. I can't place it just right yet. We can certainly. 664. Take my life, lead me, Lord. Okay. All righty. But I'm sure we can learn the other one. It's just not coming to me right now. Take my life, lead me, Lord. Take my life, lead me, Lord. Make my life useful to thee. Take my life, lead me, Lord. Take my life, lead me, Lord.
Take my life useful to thee. Here, take my life, teach me, Lord. Take my life, teach me, Lord. Make my life useful to thee. Take my life, teach me, Lord. Take my life, teach me, Lord. Make my life useful to thee. Here am I, send me, Lord. Here am I, send me, Lord. Make my life useful to thee. Here am I, send me, Lord. Here am I, send me, Lord. Make my life useful to thee. Amen.
Oh man. Yeah, that's what I need. I need a little traction sticky pad. You want to send me a link and I'll order it on Amazon? All right, you find it and I'll order it. All right. But it's got a stick. It's got a stick up here, so this will stick on top of it. Amen. All right. Well, we'll let it just go. Okay. Outstanding. I'll try not to knock it off. It's got one of those otter. It's a knockoff. It's not a real otter box, but it's a like an otter box,
yeah.
Like half the price of an otter box.
It works.
On Amazon. Yeah. Well, no, I put a mount on it so I could put it on my bike, right? So this keeps up with the miles I ride on my bike. But you gotta have that mount. That mount's hard metal, so now it doesn't have that. It doesn't have that rubber anymore, so it hits that hard metal and just. That's all right. What kind of praises do we got? If you like hot weather, you ought to be fired up. Amen.
Amen.
Hey, praise the Lord. We got 90-degree weather. Amen. Okay. Anybody got a praise back there? What you got, Vince?
Two of them, actually.
Okay.
My mother just went for her 2-year cancer checkup. Her bladder cancer.
Yeah.
And she's still cancer-free.
Oh, amen, man.
And my daughter-in-law, Jenna, the one that had breast cancer, went through chemo, radiation, surgery, the whole gamut, and she just graduated last Friday with her master's degree.
Wow.
And a lot of her studying was while she was going through chemo. So.
Wow. So she got a master's degree, and she's cancer-free as far as we know.
Yep.
All right. And this is... Okay. What do you got?
Sharon Heibarger, thanking God for placing a great used car in my path. 2008 Trailblazer with only 33,000 miles for my mom for driving it home for me.
You drove it home for her? You drove it home for Galveston? Was it an individual?
No.
No. A dealership? 33,000 miles? What did they do? Just get it out to come to church on Sundays? My soul, man. Wow. What's your daughter-in-law's name, Vince? Jenna. Cancer-free. That's great. Sharon? 2008. What car? What year of car did she wreck?
2008.
Same car. Well, I mean, that's great.
Same color.
Probably made in the same plant. She ought to get the VIN number and compare them. They might have been right behind one another on the plant, going being put together. She bought the twin. Yeah, she bought the twin. All right, good for her, 33,000 miles. All right, very good. Any other praises? Yes, sir, brother.
One more week of school.
One more week of school. I don't know if that's a praise, Brother John, or a prayer request. One more week of school. One more week of school. And the summer break is on. All right, all right. Okay, let's see here. All right, for prayer requests, I have Harold, Marjorie's dad. He's in rehab with Parkinson's and other health issues. Be praying for him. And then Larry Field, that's Stephanie's dad. He's in rehab. He fell last week, been in the hospital for about a week, and so they're moving him to rehab. So be in prayer for Larry Field. And Sharon Fuller, I want to continue to pray for her with her blood pressure issues. Want to continue to pray for these shooting victims in Buffalo, New York, their families, those that were wounded, those that died, that whole neighborhood. That grocery store was put there because it was a food desert. And so all the businesses have moved out, and because of partnerships and, you know, tax incentives, this Tops grocery store was put in there, and now these people have got no grocery store. So be in prayer for that whole Buffalo, New York neighborhood. Bless their hearts. So they've got they're bringing in buses to take them to another grocery store, but that's probably not ideal either. Shooting in the Taiwanese Presbyterian Church in California, and amazing. I don't know if you've heard the story, but it was a doctor who approached the gunman unarmed and paid with his life. Probably saved quite a few people in getting in the shooter's way and trying to take him on. So pray for that doctor's family. And then Larry Edwards, the associate pastor at Magnolia's First Baptist Church, he passed away last Sunday morning. Have anybody got an update on the funeral? Nothing. Continue to pray for that. Did Ed Say ever get out of the hospital? Don't know. All right. And we'll continue to pray for Ed, Larry Edwards' family, and his passing. And then the baby formula shortage. The president has enacted the defense. I can't remember all of it. The Defense Something Act. So they're going to fly Department of Defense planes around the world to find formula to bring. Who knows? But babies need formula, man. Or you can make it. That's what Vicki said she did for Bobby. That's why Bobby's mouth does what it does. He turned out all right. I think you gave Sharon a little bit better formula. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. You can make formula. You can buy it. You can cry. You don't have it. But, man, we need some more formula. Amen? So baby formula shortage. What else do we have on the prayer request needs?
Sharon Heiberger, continued prayers for Kinsey's back pain.
Got that. I'm sorry. Okay. Kinsey's back pain, awaiting surgery and insurance. That is correct. I got that. Got that. All right. What else? What else? Yes. Yeah, sure.
Yeah, okay. Ron, I don't have Ron Wade's doing. He had a real bad tooth.
Oh, Brother Ron, I didn't know this.
Yeah, and he's over tonight. Yeah,
you get it pulled? Oh gosh.
Boy, last Wednesday, man, he was in stress. He's in pain.
Oh man, them teeth are teeth and big toes. Something about your big toes and your teeth.
Yeah, man.
And you think you're dying, right? What? And the pinky and the back. The back, the toe, them little things, man. You think head to toe. Bad tooth.
And I do want to pray for my mom. Her back's been bothering her, too.
Jeanette.
Mm-hmm.
Back pain. All right. What else? Yes, sir, Bobby.
Of course, continue to pray for my kids.
Uh-huh, Bobby's kids.
That's still a big issue. But I leave in the morning with a lot of other motorcycle people for Kerrville, Texas, for our CMA state rally.
Y'all think y'all could have picked a hotter week?
I'm telling you. But just a prayer for traveling mercy for everybody that's on their bikes going there and coming back.
How many?
I think there's 7 or 8 going in our group. But this is a Texas-wide.
So there'll be hundreds or thousands?
Oh, there'll be thousands.
Thousands.
Yeah, thousands.
Christian Motorcycle Cycle
Association. CMA.
CMA. Association. And this is the conference? What is this?
It's a rally.
Rally.
State rally.
Rally, state rally. In Kerrville.
Kerrville.
Well, that's a beautiful spot to do it in, but
there's a lot. It's supposed to be a lot of good riding out there.
Oh man, yeah.
It's called the Twin Sisters, and you know I've never rode it, so I don't.
Oh,
know.
Oh my goodness, beautiful.
Twisted Sister, Twisted Sister.
Beautiful part of the state. You'll be there, and you'll say, "Is this really in Texas?" It really is.
Well, I went to Colorado last year, so it's got to beat that. Colorado is just beautiful. Cool.
A lot of good coffee shops there. Oh, man. Makes me want to go. And I don't even ride a motorcycle. Get in for it. All right. Anything else? Yes, sir.
Unspoken. Unspoken.
Unspoken.
Amen.
Uganda. Who's going to Uganda? I'm not going. I've done all my mission work. That's what you do that when you're young or you don't know any better. I mean, some people go when they're old, but I'll tell you what, I've had more shots. These people talking about vaccines and I don't want this shot. I don't want, well, you go overseas with a mission group, you better roll up your arm and pull your pants down where they can see your hip because they're going to stick you like a pincushion 9 ways to Sunday. You're going to get a shot for this and a shot for that and a shot for this over here. What's this one for? Don't worry about it. Give me your immunization card. And you, by the way, you're coming back in 6 weeks and getting a booster. You got to be kidding me. No. Yeah, so I've been there, done that, got the T-shirt. I do have a T-shirt somewhere about a mission trip. All right, but all that when my kids were a whole lot younger and I was a whole lot younger and had a lot more hair and could speak through an interpreter. I couldn't speak through an interpreter now to save my life. Speak way too fast. They'd be having a... Huh? Yeah, man, amen. All right, y'all ready to pray? Let's do it. Dear Jesus, we come to you tonight. We are thankful for those that, Lord, have the time and the strength and the want to, Lord, to go overseas and Lord, to be a witness. I thank you that you give me my spot here to do the ministry behind the pulpit. But Lord, there's ministry for everybody. And Lord, we're thankful for people that you call to do short-term and long-term mission trips. And Lord, they're needed. And Father God, it's a great blessing. And the church needs to send as many people as we can that want to go. And Lord, we're thankful for churches that will do that. We're thankful for mission organizations that will do that. We're thankful for Micah Tomlinson, Lord, and his mission group and their trip that they're planning to Uganda. We pray you work out all the details of that. We pray in advance for safety for those that are going. And Lord, we pray that their impact at the hospital would be big for the kingdom and would bring many people into a saving knowledge of who you are, Lord. Thank you for your gospel. Thank you for medicine. Thank you for doctors and nurses and caregivers that are willing to go and love on those people and show them unconditional love just because they are created beings of God. They go to love on them and share the good news of Jesus. So we praise you for that tonight. Lord, we praise you for just one more week of school. We pray for these teachers, Lord, that you give them sanity this last week as these kids getting really restless and Lord, they losing their how to mind skills and how to listen skills, and they just bouncing off the wall, ready to be out of school for the summer. Give these teachers the intestinal fortitude, the discipline, Lord. Give them the strength to get through this last week, and then, Lord, we pray the next several weeks and months will be a great respite and an opportunity to recharge their batteries. We praise you and thank you for Christian teachers and for our Christian school here, Lord. And we just thank you for Christian teachers everywhere. We pray you help them get through this last week. Lift up Vince's mom to you, Lord. We praise you tonight that she's 2 years cancer-free per her checkup. Well, that's a great praise, Lord, a great praise of deliverance, a great testimony of healing, Lord. And we thank you and praise you for that. And also for Vince's daughter-in-law, Jenna, and her ability, Lord, the God-given ability you gave her to earn that master's degree while undergoing all the treatments and chemo and radiation for breast cancer. Thank you, Lord, that she's cancer-free today. We pray that she would remain that way, as well as Vince's mom. And, Lord, we pray that you would allow these ladies to use their testimony of healing to further your kingdom and to further your gospel, Lord. I pray that they would shout it from the rooftops that they've been healed, and you've had a huge part in that. Lord, we're thankful that Sharon is able to find transportation. And what an odd coincidence, Lord. Same car, same year, same color. What an odd coincidence. You gotta believe you're in that somehow, somewhere, Lord. So thank you for that. Thank you that Miss Bicky was able to drive that vehicle back up here from Galveston. Lord, we give you the praise and the glory for that. And then, Lord, as we think about our prayer request, we lift up Sharon's daughter, Kenzie. We're praying for her back. We're praying that you might relieve that pain, give her the strength, the grace, the mercy to go through what she's going through, Lord. We pray that you get that body ready for surgery. We pray as the insurance comes online, the surgery would be able to just be scheduled immediately, Lord. She'd be able to have this pain-relieving surgery done on her back. We lift up Harold to you tonight, Marjorie's dad. We pray for his rehab. We pray for his Parkinson's, Lord, his diabetes, his other health issues. We pray you give him strength, and, Lord, you give him appetite, and, Lord, you just help him get back going again. We lift up the same kind of prayer for Larry, Stephanie's dad, as he's in rehab trying to recover from his fall. Lord, we pray you might touch his body, Lord. Help him with his strength. And, Lord, we help that pray that that head and that tailbone and arm, all that stuff heals up. The stitches, the bruising, everything, Lord, you just heal that up. We continue to pray for Sharon Fuller, Lord, and her challenges with high blood pressure. We're praying that you might keep it low this week. Lord, just give her a calmness of spirit and peace. And, Lord, that blood pressure would just remain controllable and stay low. As we think about these shooting victims in Buffalo, New York, and California, we lift up these folks, those that have lost loved ones, those that have seen loved ones, seen friends taken before their very eyes. We pray that you comfort them, Lord, that you help them. That, Father God, in the midst of all this loss, that you would bring about an incredible outpouring of your gospel, and that people in these memorials and funerals and homegoing celebrations, people would receive the gospel message. Seeds would be planted, and, Lord, days, months, years down the road, there might be salvations birthed from these awful tragedies, Lord. So we're praying for comfort. We're praying for your help. Lord, we're praying that you might meet those folks in the midst of their need. Lift up Larry Edwards' family to you tonight, Lord, and the loss of Larry last Sunday. We pray that you comfort them, his wife, his children, Lord. Watch over them. Be with them this very week. Lord, be with them as they go through that time of a memorial or funeral, whatever they are leading to do. We continue to pray for Ed Say, and we pray for his health. We pray that you might touch his body, bring healing to him from this pneumonia. Pray that you help him get over it. And, Lord, we pray that you just help him get back up in the pulpit, preaching the Word of God. Strengthen him, Lord. Undergird him. Help him. We continue to pray for this shortage of formula, Lord. We pray that those people, those that are struggling, those that do not have the funds to pay for $4 and something a gallon gasoline to drive around three or four counties looking for formula, Lord, we pray that these planes going halfway around the world to bring it back, that, Lord, the logistics of all that would happen within a week or 2 weeks, and there would be formula back on the shelves for these folks to have for their babies. Lord, help them intervene. Lord, if they to do something else, lead guide them in that direction. But, Lord, we pray that you give these folks wisdom and discernment, direction on how best to feed their children. We lift up Ron Wade to you tonight. And this tooth he's experiencing extreme pain in, Lord, we pray that you help him get to a good dentist to give him some relief, pull that tooth or fill it or whatever it needs, God. We pray that pain would be taken away from him. We lift up James's mother to you, Jeanette. We pray for her back pain. Pray that you might ease that and touch that, Lord. Bring her some relief tonight. Give her a good rest of the week, Lord, with her health. We continue to pray for Bobby's kids, Lord, and their reconciliation and that situation that they're struggling with. We pray for all the Christian Motorcycle Association folks that will be traveling from all over the state coming to Kerrville. We pray for their traveling mercies, Lord, tomorrow. And as they are there in town, we pray for their safety. And as they depart after the rally's over, we're praying for safety as they come back to their respective homes and towns and cities. Just watch over them, Lord. I pray they be a great witness there in the city of Kerrville. And, Lord, just may it be a good time of celebration about salvation and, Lord, the gospel as they get together and celebrate their unity in the Word and in Jesus. And then, Lord, we think about the unspokens tonight. Thank you, Lord, that we can bring them to you and lay them down at your feet. We thank you, God, that you're sovereign, that you're in control, that your timing is your timing and not our time. And so, Lord, help us rest and trust. And Lord, just give peace where peace needs to be given. And give help where help needs to be given. And give strength where strength needs to be given in the midst of these unspokens. Some of these are hard to carry. Burdens upon burdens. But, Lord, we're thankful that we can lay them down. And we know that you hear us. We know that you hear us tonight. We praise you for that, that you care for us. You care about our needs, these unspoken requests. You know about them. You know the details, the specifics. You know everything that's going on. So, God, we're thankful for that. We praise you tonight for loving us. Lord, we thank you for our salvation. We thank you for your word tonight as we get ready to get into it. We praise you and thank you for all you do. It's in your name we pray and God's people said. Amen. All right, take a copy of God's Word. We are in the book of Revelation. I'll invite you to stand in honor of the reading of the inerrant Word of God. I went ahead and I was going to try to say some closing comments on chapter 20, the judgment at the white throne. I think we did 4 Bible studies on that. I think I covered that. I went back over that, and I thought there was another Bible study in there, but I think we really got it. So we're going to pick it up here in chapter 21, beginning in verse 1, and we'll read it through verse 8. So Revelation 21, those of you with us online, good to have you with us tonight. Revelation chapter 21, beginning in verse 1, and the Word of God reads this. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth passed away, and there is no longer any sea. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, made ready as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is among men, and he will dwell among them, and they shall be his people, and God himself will be among them. And he will wipe away every tear from their eyes. And there will no longer be any death. There will no longer be any mourning or crying or pain. The first things have passed away. And he who sits on the throne said, Behold, I'm making all things new. And he said, Write, for these words are faithful and true. Then he said to me, It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give to the one who thirsts from the spring of the water of life without cost. He who overcomes will inherit these things, And I will be his God, and he will be my son. Before the cowardly and unbelieving and abominable and murderers and immoral persons and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars, their part will be in the lake that burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Amen? Thank you all for standing in honor of the reading of the Holy and Inerrant Word of God, and may he add his tremendous blessing to it. Now, we are simply going to try to introduce this truth, this reality of heaven tonight. All right? A true and normal thing for Christians, I believe, is a preoccupation. I got the word out. Woo! That's a lot of syllables in there. Is a preoccupation with heaven. Amen? Now, it may be just my thinking, but I believe that the older we get, those of you that are older than me, you can help me out here. The older we get, the more we long for and the more we think about heaven. Is that true? I think that's true. Amen? Even when we look at the history of the church, we find that God's people rightly have been preoccupied with heaven. They have longed for its joys because they have been only loosely tied to this earth. They have seen themselves as strangers and exiles on the earth who desire a better country that is a heavenly one. With the psalmist, they have said to God, "Whom have I in heaven but you? And besides you, I desire nothing on earth. My flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever." That's Psalm 73, 25 and 26. They also have said to God the words of the psalmist in Psalm 42, 1 and 2, "As the deer pants for the water brooks, so my soul pants for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God?" Well, in heaven, you're going to get to appear before God. Through the centuries, that desire to see God and to be in His presence and enjoy Him forever, that intense longing that nothing on this earth can satisfy, has marked believers. Now, however, when we think about the state of the church today, here in 2022, this is not always the case. Many in the church today are caught up in our society's rush for instant gratification, our society's rush for material comfort, our society's rush for narcissistic indulgence. What are you saying to me tonight, Pastor? I'm saying that the church has become worldly. Worldly. Nothing more graphically demonstrates that worldliness than the current lack of interest in heaven. Now, I can't speak for the rest of the New Testament church. That's way above my pay grade. I'm not a pope. I'm not a director of missions. I'm not some guy on a big presbytery board that oversees thousands of churches. I'm just a local church pastor. So I can't speak for the rest of the New Testament churches, but I can for this one. I can speak for this one here. And what I will tell you here is that we're going to sing about heaven. And we're going to preach about heaven. And you're going to be encouraged as congregants and lay people and church members to discuss the implications of a heavenly home. The question is why? Preacher, why would you put that on us? Well, because believers who do not have heaven on their mind, say folks that don't have heaven on their minds, They really do not appreciate the importance of their salvation. They don't appreciate the importance of their lives here on this earth, bringing glory and honor to Jesus Christ. And because of that, they hinder the power of the church. Christians that don't have heaven on their minds hinder the very power of the church. And ultimately, they become absorbed with the fading things of this world. So, as we begin to introduce this passage, chapter 21, verses 1 through 8, the Bible makes it clear that believers are to focus on heaven. I'll give you a few passages. You can take a note on these. You can look them up with me as I read them, or you know, you can kind of get behind. That's okay. You can catch up when we move on from these passages. But the first one is found in Philippians 3. The second one is found in Colossians 3. The third one is found in James 4. And the fourth one is found in 1 John 2. So Philippians, Colossians, James, and 1 John. Philippians 3:20 says this: "For our citizenship is in heaven, from which also we eagerly wait for a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ." Colossians chapter 3, 1 and 2 says this: "Therefore, if you've been raised up with Christ, keep seeking the things above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on the things above, not on the things that are on earth." James chapter 4, verse 4 says, "You adulteresses, do you not know that friendship with the world is hostility toward God? Therefore, whoever wishes to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God." The inference there is you need to be a friend of God, amen, and looking forward to heaven. 1 John chapter 2, verses 15 and 17 says, "Do not love the world nor the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes, and the boastful pride of life is not from the Father, but is from the world. The world is passing away and also its lust, but the one who does the will of God lives forever." So based on the Word of God, do you believe a heavenly perspective, based on the Word of God, not based on anything I've said tonight, but based on the Word of God, do you believe a heavenly perspective, a heavenly preoccupation? Do you believe that that is vital? Well, Jeremiah does. Anybody else? Do you believe a heavenly perspective is vital? Amen. If you believe it's vital, would you signify by saying amen? Amen. Very good. Well, preacher, why would a heavenly perspective be a vital thing for Christians to have? Well, number one, the Bible says we ought to have one. But everything connected to a believer's spiritual life and everything connected to a believer's final destiny is there in heaven. Amen? As Christians, our Father is there. Our Father, as our Savior and our Comforter, our Father is there. The huge number of our fellow believers who have successfully run their earthly races, they are there. Amen? They've gone on before us. Believers' names, mine and your name, those that are saved, our names, our very names, are recorded in heaven, signifying that we are citizens of heaven. That means that our inheritance is there. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 and 4 says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to His great mercy has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus, the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to obtain an inheritance which is imperishable and undefiled and will not fade away, reserved in heaven for you." So along with our reward, our treasure, these things, which talks about which is imperishable and undefiled. These things are in heaven, imperishable things and undefiled things are awaiting us in heaven. In short, everything of lasting importance to believers is in heaven. You could say heaven is our home. Amen? Our home. Which means what? Well, we think about here. When we think about here. What's going on here? When we think about life here, oh my goodness, that means we're strangers here. Means we're exiles here. Means we're just pilgrims on earth. We're just passing through here. Even death, the final enemy, merely ushers believers into the presence of God. Ecclesiastes chapter 7, verse 1 says this. Ecclesiastes 7, 1. It says, a good name is better than a good ointment. And the day of one's death is better than the day of one's birth. That's pretty heavy. Paul's longing for heaven led him to write in Philippians chapter 1, verses 21 through 24. You know this passage. It'd be a reminder for you. It says, for to me to live is Christ, and to die is what? Gain, yeah. But if I am to live on in the flesh, this will mean fruitful labor for me, and I do not know which to choose. But I am hard-pressed from both directions, having the desire to depart and be with Christ, for that is very much better. The application is this. Desiring heaven, when we desire heaven, when we have a preoccupation with heaven, when we have a perspective of heaven, it exerts a powerful influence on us as believers living here on earth. You think I'm making it up? Why don't you make a conscious effort for the next 30 days to ponder and think about 5 minutes, 7 minutes, 10 minutes, just to think about the glories of heaven. Look in your concordance of your Bible and see where heaven occurs in the Scriptures. And just ponder those verses. And you tell me after 30 days, if that hasn't impacted your spiritual growth for the better. Amen? Yeah, yeah. You take that up on yourself and come back and tell me. I guarantee you won't come back in 30 days and tell me that it hadn't impacted you. You'll come back to me in 30 days and say, that was amazing. I think I'm going to keep pondering heaven, right? A genuine and strong longing for heaven has many important implications and benefits for the Christian. I'm going to give you just four quick ones and we'll be done tonight. The first one is this. Such a longing is one of the surest indicators of genuine salvation. Longing to be in heaven. Longing for it, right? Luke chapter 12, verse 24. You know this passage. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. That is correct. A genuine and strong longing for heaven has many important implications and benefits for the Christians. That was one of them. Number two, a genuine and strong longing for heaven also produces the highest and noblest Christian character. Those who spend much time meditating on heavenly things cannot help but to have their lives transformed. Number three, a genuine and strong longing for heaven also brings joy and comfort in trials. Those who focus on heaven's glories can endure anything in this life and not lose their joy. You will not lose your joy. Man, you keep your eyes on the prize. You keep your heart wrapped around Him. And friend, you may have some difficult times, some difficult days. but you'll go through them with your joy. When they suffer, and we all are going to suffer. When we suffer, we can say with Paul in 2 Corinthians 4:17, for momentary light affliction is producing for us an eternal weight of glory far beyond all comparison. And finally tonight, a genuine and strong longing for heaven has many important implications and benefits for the Christian. Finally, a genuine and strong longing for heaven is also a preventative against sin. Those who set their minds on things above are less likely to become ensnared by earthly temptations. The last passage I leave with you is Romans chapter 8. Verses 5 and 6, the Word of God reads this. For those who are according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who are according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For the mind set on the flesh is death, but the mind set on the Spirit is life and peace. Amen. Life and peace is a good thing. Aren't you glad you got it? Jesus loves you, amen? He says He goes to prepare a place for you. I believe Him. Let's pray, amen? Dear Jesus, we come to You tonight. We thank You, Lord, for Your Word. We thank You for the truth contained herein. And Lord, we thank You for the grand principle, the grand overarching principle that Your Word will accomplish the purpose for which it was sent. It is not void. It is full. It is truth. And it continues forever and ever and ever. And Lord, when this old earth in this current heaven is uncreated, Your Word will still remain. And when the new heaven and the new earth is created, Your Word will still be there. So we praise You tonight, Lord, for loving us, for saving us, and for giving us Your Word to show us who You are, to communicate how to know You, and to see You, and experience You, and to be with You. Thank You for Your gospel. Thank You for the truth about heaven tonight. Lord, we just want to satiate the palate tonight to get us tasting the glories of heaven. Lord, help us come back Sunday night, dig a little bit deeper, and even begin to look at these verses in chapter 21, verses 1 through 8. Thank You for Your Word tonight, Lord. Thank You for Your people tonight. Be with them as they depart. Give them safety. Give them a good rest of this week. And Lord, we pray that they experience some of the joys, some of the peace, some of the glories of heaven right here on this earth. As they meet with You, pray with You, as they get into Your Word. Thank You, Lord, for loving us. It's in Your name we pray, and God's people said, boom, amen. All right, folks online, we'll see you next time. Okay, thank you, Brother John. Next Wednesday, those of you folks, well, we're going to live stream that, aren't we? So people want to watch? Yeah. Because you may have some grandparents who can't be here. Or parents. Next Wednesday night will be our graduation ceremony. During the what time does it start? 7 o'clock. So during the church hour, there will be an awards night ceremony for the school. We have one graduate. It'll be a short commencement. Very short commencement address. So we'll try to get Sam. We'll try to get Sam ready. Sam's already finished, though, right? Sam's already finished school, so he'll be coming back for awards and his diploma. So you join us, those of you online, and those of you here tonight, if you want to come be a part of that, it's always a good time. The kids are very excited when they get their awards. Amen. Parking lot attendants. All right, safety team, there you go. You've been tapped. Parking lot attendants. Huh? No Awanas next week. Okay, no Awanas. Is there going to be refreshments after it's over? No refreshments. Get your awards and you're dismissed. All right, very good. All right. All right, good night, everybody. We'll see you next time. God bless you. All right. I got to go pick up a prescription.